The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another broadcast of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and I am once again on location recording this show away from the studios in St. Louis in order for you to meet our guest today, Sister Mary, and learn about her life as an apostolic sister of St. John. I am actually just outside of Peoria, Illinois, in a tiny, tiny town called Princeville. Some might say this is out in the middle of nowhere, but I prefer to say that we are in the beautiful seclusion of the countryside, surrounded by farms in the heartland of America. And we are going to bring you three different shows from the community of St. John here in Princeville, because through a dear friend of mine whom I visit in Peoria, I have come to love this community. So in the upcoming weeks and months, you're going to get to meet Sister Mary, Sister Monica Maria, and Father John Lewis Mary. Before we meet Sister Mary today, I'd like to share some background information about this religious order. The Apostolic Sisters of St. John are a part of the Community of St. John, founded in 1975 by a Dominican priest, Father Marie-Dominique Philippe, in Freiburg, Switzerland. The family of St. John includes four branches: the brothers, the contemplative sisters, the apostolic sisters, and lay oblates. From the beginning, the characteristics of the community included an insistence on the search for truth through philosophical and theological work, a life consecrated to God, emphasizing silent prayer in community and the Eucharist, and thirdly, the importance of communal life in intense fraternal charity. Young women were attracted to the contemplative fraternal life they witnessed among the brothers, and a female contemplative branch of sisters started in 1982. Other women who felt an added call to external ministry became the Apostolic Sisters of St. John in 1984. A unique part of the charism is the articulation of their vows. Members of all branches live the spirit of poverty, virginity, and obedience rooted in three covenants revealed to them in the Gospel of St. John: the covenant with Jesus, the covenant with Mary, and the covenant with Peter in the person of the Holy Father. Their covenant with Jesus in the Eucharist invites them to long hours of silent adoration, liturgical prayer, chanting the divine office, and celebrating daily Eucharist. The covenant with Mary invites them to a common life of fraternal charity, because it was Mary received as a mother who brings about this unity between all her children. The covenant with Peter invites them to filial obedience to the Pope as successor of Peter and to the bishops. Study is an important part of daily life for the entire community. By their studies, the sisters deepen their knowledge of the Word of God, taking as their model the way in which Mary lived, loved it, and kept it in her heart. They received the doctrine of the church to assist them in this through tradition and the teachings of the fathers and St. Thomas Aquinas. An important place is also given to the philosophical understanding of the human person. The 200 apostolic sisters follow this semi-contemplative life in 10 countries: France, Germany, Lithuania, Italy, the United States, Mexico, Philippines, Cameroon, Togo, and Guinea. In the United States, there are two houses, one in New Jersey and the house here in Princeville, Illinois. And according to their website, this question is often asked of the sisters: is it possible to combine monastic and apostolic life? Their answer: it isn't easy to find the balance of these two aspects of our life, but it is not too different from what Jesus lived, a life totally given to the Father and to human beings. And today we are going to meet Sister Mary, who lives this beautiful balance of life as an apostolic sister of St. John. Sister Mary is of Irish descent, born in England, but her family moved back to Ireland about 20 years ago. She is the third eldest of seven children, three girls and four boys. Before entering the community, she worked with people with mental health issues and also worked in a parish in central London. She left home on the feast of Mother Teresa, the 5th of September, 2006, which was a significant date for her, and entered the convent a few days later. She professed final vows in 2013 on the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Sister Mary loves hiking and reading. Some fun facts about her, which I love. The craziest thing she ever did was swim with freshwater crocodiles in Australia. Bet you didn't see that coming. And the scariest thing she's ever done, she says, was enter the convent, which I love. Thank you so much, Sister Mary, for being guest today on The Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you, Patty. It's great to be here with you.
All right. Well, let's describe a little bit about this background that you had growing up in Ireland and with your family. And how is it typical? How is it unique? That's what we always ask. And what were some of those early experiences that you had of God that you can remember?
So, as you said, I grew up in an Irish Catholic family in England. That in itself is kind of not so typical. Living in England and yet in a home that was deeply Irish in many ways. What are my early experiences of God? Well, when thinking about that, what comes to mind is being disturbed from my slumber on a Sunday morning by my parents who were taking me to Mass. And I will admit that that wasn't my greatest joy growing up. I did have a close, well, I don't know if I could say close relationship with Mary, but I did have, I was aware of her presence, Mary's presence in my life as a child. Another memory that comes to mind when thinking about that question is, as a young girl, frightened at night in the dark, whenever I would pray the Our Father, a great peace would always come. So those were some memories of my life with my family.
And did you think that you would ever be a nun?
Never.
So what were your plans? What did you think you would be?
Well, I had plans. I wanted to get married. I was going to have four children, two boys, two girls. I had their names.
Oh, you had it all planned out?
I had it all planned out, yeah. And being a nun was really the furthest thing from my mind.
So what circumstances in your life led you to make the faith your own, or led you deeper in prayer, or just even led you to be in a position to hear God's call?
Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, there's a kind of a paradox here. Around the age of 16, I made a very conscious choice that the Catholic faith that my family lived was not my own. And so I made a very conscious choice to leave the church and yet at the same time, I also wanted to find God. There was something in my heart that realized that having a relationship with God was possible, but I wasn't going to find that in the Catholic Church. And so I decided that I was going to find God, but again, outside of the Catholic Church. And there's a moment in my life when I was around 16 that I remember was when I was kind of lay in my bed and, you know, it's one of those troublesome, turbulent teenage years, and really cried out to God and asked him that if he was real, if it was possible to have a relationship with God, you know, that he would let me find him and that I would have this relationship with him.
So what brought you back to the church?
So that happened a few years later, and still more turbulent years. It was my mom had, she went to Medjugorje and she came back to her faith there, or at least her faith became renewed in Medjugorje, and she wanted to bring me out to Medjugorje. And it was there seeing people pray, you know, people were kneeling in prayer. And I think also just this recognition that Mary was, that there was something about Mary, I want to say. And that was the beginning of my return to the Catholic Church.
So when did you hear the call then to become a religious sister? So you're back in the church, you've gotten through some of those turbulent times, practicing your faith again. But that's still a far cry from becoming a nun, as we all know. So was it a definite moment in your life, or was it a gradual thing? Some people can remember the day, the time, the place, when they heard it, and what they felt or their reaction. What was it like for you?
So I was at a Youth 2000 retreat, and there was a moment where I was sat there in the church. It was a definite moment, but I want to say too that in looking back, I realised that a call was always present in my heart. I just hadn't understood it. But I was sat there in the church and I just felt in my heart that God was calling me to be, as I would say back then, a nun. And that was frightening because that I had never recognised a call to religious life. And so that was a frightening experience.
So how did you go from fear then to acceptance? What was your next step? Did you, you know, if you're afraid, did you tell anyone that, oh my gosh, I think God might be calling me to this? Or did you keep it a secret? How did you grow from fear into acceptance and then even the steps that you took into desiring it?
So God in his providence was very good to me. And I had met an old religious sister. And so I went to her and I spoke with her and shared with her my thoughts on what was taking place in my heart. She, in her wisdom, also suggested that I seek spiritual direction. And so I went to a Franciscan friar and he was very good in leading and guiding me. Both of them advised me that the beginning of a conversion, you know, it's like falling in love and you know, you want to give up everything and move quickly. And they advised me to take my time and that, you know, this was the beginning of a relationship and to just be at peace and to take my time. And so.
And that's great advice. Absolutely. Because you're right. Sometimes when you think of something, you might make a rash decision, which that was wise of them to just say, give it time. And then you can have that peace and grow into it. So how did you know or come to learn of the Apostolic Sisters of St. John? So are you in England right now or are you in Ireland? Let me first, where are we in your story? What country? And how were you introduced to the sisters?
So my conversion took place in Ireland. And so these wonderful people, this religious sister and this Franciscan friar, were both Irish. And so following their advice, I decided that I was going to take my time. And I had come across a school of life that was in the parish in London, where I worked also. So I moved to England. I applied for this school of life. And so in order to grow my faith and my knowledge of God. And so I was a student of the School of Life and then I stayed on and I worked for the parish and the parish priest sent me to another youth 2000 retreat. And this time I was supposed to be recruiting people for our School of Life. And it was there that I met one of our contemplative sisters. And so at that point, I had put this on the back burner, this whole discernment of vocations on the back burner, and I wasn't really actively seeking at that point. So a friend of mine asked if I would go with her to meet this Sister of St. John. Never heard of the Sisters of St. John. So I said, yes, I would go with her. She needed moral support. And my friend left that conversation saying that wasn't for her. And I was really taken by what this contemplative sister had said and asked for more information.
So then did you visit the sisters? And what was your first impression when you actually then, where did you visit them? Was it in France where the mother house is? And what did you think when you first encountered them?
So again, I wasn't telling too many people about my desire for religious life just because I think I was confused and not understanding it myself. And so what I did is I took a group with me to France and as a kind of a hidden observer with these other young people, we went on retreat to France. So it was in France. And I remember kneeling in the chapel and coming to the realization that this was actually a very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful vocation and praying to the Lord and saying to him, if this is not my vocation, make it my vocation. I want to be a religious sister. And the wonderful end, I don't know if you could call that the end, but in that very same chapel in 2013, that's where I professed my final vows.
Oh, that's beautiful. God has a way of bringing you around to the very beginning of when you heard the call and then to make your profession there. That is beautiful. So since you have entered, what have been some of your greatest joys now that you have lived in this? And what have been maybe some of the areas that you've grown since first entering? You know, I always like to ask people kind of like, what do you remember most about your wedding day for a couple that's married? What do you remember most about those early years of being a postulant or a novice? And then how have you grown and the joys you've experienced?
So when I entered the sisters, again, there were so many ups and downs in my vocation story. At that point, I was like, I've got to get this out of my system. You know, I'm confused about this. I still had a desire to be married. And yet at the same time, I was drawn to religious life. And so I was like, I've got to get this out of my system. I'm going to enter the sisters and I'm going to discern once and for all. And so that was kind of my mindset when I arrived to France. And very, very quickly, I realized that there was no reason to fear, that there was, that this was a very beautiful life and that I could be fulfilled in this life. Of course, when I was leaving home, I was wondering, what would I be lacking in? Would I be hungry? Would I be...
actually thought you might be hungry?
I was worried that I wouldn't. Yeah, I would be hungry. That I would be lonely. That this would be a tough life. And the opposite was true. You know, I was fulfilled in many ways. And no, I didn't go hungry. There were snacks. I was able.
I love it. Thank you for your honesty on that. Again, we like to be real, but give these glimpses. But what I actually love is that you shared your fears, fear of being lonely, fear of that I would have to give up this, fear that I, you know, everything from, like you said, it sounds ridiculous now. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of being hungry or that it would just be too tough. And that's a real fear. So what have been your joys, though, since you've entered the community?
So the joy is, again, I realized that I had a very deep desire to come to know God. And that was the cry of the 16-year-old girl. And again, when I look back into my childhood, I see that that was still very present there, that I always had a desire for something more. I knew that there was something more to this life, more to what I was seeing, and realizing that that more is Jesus Christ and that it's possible to have a very real relationship with him, and that that is possible to come to know and to love God.
I love it. Okay, so tell us a little bit about life in the community, or a glimpse of maybe one aspect of life here with the community of St. John, here out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe pick one thing about what it is like, to just give our listeners a glimpse. Maybe you want to tell us about what leisure time is like, or your apostolic work, or mealtime, or your prayer time, or habit, whatever you want to do. Just give us one thing that people don't know about the community of St. John to let our listeners know.
Well, one thing that people don't know about the community of St. John, I mean, I like the title of this program, which is A Hidden Pearl. I think the hidden pearl of what says actually in our rule of life, that the hidden pearl of our religious life is the desert. Each week we have a desert day, which is a day of prayer and solitude. And we have our meals in solitude. We pray in solitude. We have a day of silence. And this really is the pearl of our religious life.
And do you like that day, the desert day? I mean, to me, it would be like, oh gosh, a desert day. That would be hard. But for you, you're saying this is one of the things you love.
Well, the irony of it is that when I met the contemplative sister back in the day where I was still seeking my vocation, when she spoke about silence and solitude, I was like, oh my goodness, couldn't do that. And so that's when I asked her if there was apostolic sisters, thinking that their life wouldn't be so rooted in silence. And actually, that was one of my discoveries as a postulant was, oh, okay, we live silence too in the apostolic sisters of St. John.
It's both and.
Yeah, exactly. And it's actually, I need it as if it has become vital for me, this desert days, and it's vital for a lot of sisters that to be able to go back to the source and to make that connection with God, with Christ in adoration. We have extended adoration on this day, and you know, the Carthusians will speak about the cross, that the world turns while the cross remains. And I think there's something true too about Eucharist adoration, that in the quiet, in the silence, in this humble piece of bread, Christ is present to us, and that we have this great privilege of being able to spend this time with him in silent prayer, in adoration, and that while the world is continuing to move, we are in the presence of the Eternal One, and that really is a great gift.
So which day of the week is your desert day?
Monday.
And is that for the whole community, or does each person pick a different day?
So for each priory, so each convent, we have a community desert day. So all sisters are on desert the same day. Now, it's not the same day for every community. You know, other priories will have a different desert day so that it fits in with their apostolic life. But here in Princeville, our desert day is Monday.
That's beautiful. Thanks for giving us that glimpse. I love that. And we also like to get a glimpse of you personally. So maybe if you could share with us either your favorite scripture or your favorite prayer, favorite saints that have been influential in your life.
My favorite scripture passage is, I like the image of God as a rock, and that's been throughout my vocation. So Psalm 62 will speak of God being a rock. God alone, my soul waits in silence. My hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Favorite saint? The writings of St. Elizabeth of the Trinity really speak to my heart, so I would say.
And why her, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity? She was a mystic, wasn't she?
St. Elizabeth of the Trinity was a Carmelite nun, and I think she speaks a lot about the life of grace, the life of Christ within us, and that's really something that I have come to know and love and be in awe of, the fact of this life of grace that's within me, that Christ dwells within me. And I think reading St. Elizabeth of the Trinity really nourishes that aspect of my Christian life.
Okay, final question. What would you say to a young woman who, like you, thinks as a young girl at 16, or maybe even has left the church, right, is thinking, I don't want this? What would you say to her? And what would you say to somebody who thinks maybe they're hearing that call for the first time and thinking, oh no, please, gosh, no? Mm-hmm.
Well, to the young girl who is thinking of leaving the church or has left the church, I would ask her to come back and discover the wonderful treasures that we have within our church. And for the young lady who is discerning her vocation, I would encourage her to, in the same words of Jesus, to come and see, to fear not. You know, I had so many fears. And in the end, when I finally entered, I realized that there was really nothing to fear. There was only much to gain.
I love it. Beautiful testimony. Thank you so much, Sister Mary, for being our guest today. We are out of time, so we want to conclude by praying for holy vocations. And if all our listeners would join us now as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Sister Mary of the Community of St. John, thank you so much for being our guest today on The Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you, Pashi.
All right. Join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to hear previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.